of the message is equal but different. Would you please say that out loud? Say equal but different. Last week we talked about the role of women. Today we want to talk about the role of men. Now, by way of introduction, let me read to you Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. This is out of the New Living Translation. So God created human beings in his own image. Aren't you thankful that you're created in the image of God today? In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Would you please say male and female? And so it's very, very clear from the scriptures that there are only two genders. It's important that we say that in our society and in our day and age. So biblically, there are only two genders. You were created either male or female. And so I just want to speak a word of healing today. If there's any confusion about gender, I want you to know that God will heal you. God will give you understanding. But biblically, we see that we were created either male or female. Now, this is also very important. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28. This is from the Contemporary English Version. It says, all of you are God's children because of your faith in Christ Jesus. And when you were baptized, it was as though you had put on Christ in the same way you put on new clothes. Faith in Christ is what makes each of you equal with each other. Would you please say equal with each other? Say that. Okay. Whether you were a Jew or a Greek, a slave or a free person, a man or a woman. So let's say this again out loud, please. Say equal but different. Say that, equal but different. So when it comes to being children of God, we're equal. Men and women are equal in the sight of God. We're all children of the Lord. We're equal, but we're very different. We have either males or females sitting in this place today. So we're equal, but we're different. We talked about the role of women. I want to talk to you today about the role of men. Now, what do we mean when we say a role? Well, we could define it this way. It's like a part that's being played in a movie or in theater. That's a part that you play. That's what we mean by the word role. It is a function performed in a particular operation. So you could say, as in a welder has a certain function that he performs, he or she performs. It's a particular operation. Or a carpenter has a certain role. So when we talk about a role, it can be like in a movie, you play the part, or it's a function that you perform. Now, this is important that socially, it's a socially expected behavior pattern determined by society. As in a doctor, a teacher has a role to play. A parent has a role to play. A husband, a wife, a man, and a woman. And so society determines that. And so when you look at cultures throughout the world for millennium, historically, we see that there are roles that men and women play. And so society determines that. Now, I think it's important that we really understand the role of a man and the role of a woman when we look at it biblically. And there's so much that we could teach on and that we could say. Now, at the outset, I want to say this by way of review. I mentioned this last week, but we're all different. Okay? We're equal as children of God, but we're all very, very different. We all have different personalities. We have different ways of doing things. And so I gave some examples last week. I'll repeat them today. We have different personalities, but we have different styles, ways of doing things. Think about this, our communication style, and I'm going to give you two opposites. You might be a person that shares everything, lets it all out, or you might be a person that keeps it all in. Obviously, those are two extremes. How about your living style? Some people are very, very spontaneous, but other people are planners. They're going to plan out everything. How about your financial style? Some people are spenders, and some people are savers. How about your social style? Some people want to be at everything. Other people just want to stay home. How about your entertainment style? Some people, they just want to scroll and look at everything. Other people are like, hey, just pick a program. Are you starting to realize if you're married today, you're probably married to the opposite, right? How about your exercise style? Some people are runners, other people are walkers. How about your prayer style? Some people are quiet and some people are loud. And so these describe our personalities and our style. These are the extremes. Sometimes you might find yourself on one side of the spectrum or the other. You might find yourself in the middle. But the point I'm trying to make is that we're all very, very different. We all have different personalities and we have different styles of doing life. And so we just want to reiterate that we're equal as human beings, we're equal as men and women, but we have very, very different roles as determined by society and as determined by the scripture. So let's see if we can describe men in general. And I'm making some generalization here, but see if you agree with me, ladies, on some of these things. A man's idea of multitasking is watching football while asking for another snack. That's about all the multitasking that a man can do. Some of you might disagree with me, but I think some of multitasking is gender-related. I think most men are not very good at it. I think women are just amazing at multitasking. My wife can cook and clean and take care of the children and run, do all kinds of business things. She's remarkable. Tell me if you agree with this one. Here's a comment. Why should a man read the instructions when he can figure it out on his own? And I put in here parenthetically, even though it takes him an hour longer. But he's determined. He's got to try to figure that out on his own. How about this one? Men can fix anything except the mess they just made. Now, why do we have trouble with that, men? Men think they know everything, but if they knew everything, they'd know how to listen. How about this one? Men, if at first you don't succeed, ask your wife. She knew the answer the whole time. And so I think men and women are different. So let's look at a biblical perspective, and I'm going to invite you to go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 22. To 24, but I want to read to you verse 33 to begin with. It says this, however, and so I say again, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. I think this is a really powerful verse because it really indicates some of the nature of a woman and the nature of a man. So I see from this verse that a woman longs to be loved. There's just something about a woman that God created her where she longs for and she needs love. Now, at the outset, when I make these comments, I'm not saying that men don't need love. Of course they need love. Of course they long for love. But I believe the Lord created and designed a woman to long for and to need love. And so I taught on this last week that a woman is really created for commitment. There's something about her where she's very, very committed to the Lord and to her husband and to her family. She was also made to care. There's something remarkable and special about a woman. She has a lot of compassion for her children, for her family. Again, we're not saying that men don't care, but there's something very, very special about a woman. She was created to care. And then she's designed to communicate. And so we said last week that if you want to bless the women in your life, then get behind what they're committed to. Get behind what they care about and be a person that's willing to communicate with them. So a woman longs for and needs love. Conversely, a man longs for and needs respect. And so I've discovered this, and I when I've looked at this in my own life, I would have to say that many of the arguments that my wife and I have had are because she did not feel loved and appreciated in the conversation, or I felt disrespected. And so if you'll sit there and take inventory and think about it, it could be that many of your discussions and arguments that you have are because deep down, men, you don't feel like you're being respected. And ladies, you might feel deep down that you're really not appreciated or loved. If we could understand at the core of who we are as people and how God created us, I think it'll really give us revelation in the relational process. And so this is what I feel from this verse, that a woman longs for and needs love, and a man longs for and needs respect. Now, today I'm going to share three things about men that I think are really important for us to realize. He's designed to protect. God has created men and designed us to protect. Secondly, God has created us to provide. And thirdly, He's created us for a purpose. And so we want to talk about that, that the Lord designed and created men to protect, to provide, and for a purpose. So let's talk about this. A man longs for and needs respect. Now, when I read these verses to us today, many women are concerned at the very outset because they're concerned about dominating tyrants. So the verses I'm about to read, already some women might be putting up some defense mechanisms and saying, I know he's going to read the submission passage. And that's understandable. If we've had men that have been insensitive and men that are domineering, then that would be very, very understandable. But you're going to see in a moment that it's okay to submit to someone when you're loved unconditionally. And we're going to define submission. It might not be exactly what you think it is. And so let's talk about this. So a man longs for and needs respect. Now I'm going to read Ephesians 5, and we'll work our way through this pericope. Now, your Bible has certain headings. And so my Bible has a heading, and it says wives and husbands, and then it starts with verse 22. Remember, the Bible didn't have any verses or chapter headings. Somebody put those in much later. This was just a letter that was written. And so don't miss the verse right before it. The verse right before it is verse 21. It says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That really should be the beginning verse, is that we submit to one another. But then the Bible starts talking very specifically about a man that he is designed to protect. So verse 22 says, wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to their husbands in everything. And so right away, somebody might be very defensive or have trouble. Now, I know that some women are never going to probably accept some of the things that I say today. It could be because of hurt. It could be because they've seen some very poor examples. It could be because of their paradigm. But I believe if you look at the text today, you'll see actually how refreshing this is. And so you're going to see in a moment, hey, I can submit to something if I'm being loved unconditionally. So just think about this, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. But if you're asked to be submissive to a person, that's impossible, to submit to a human being that's imperfect. But by the same token, it's impossible to love somebody unconditionally. And so the Lord is asking the wife to do something impossible, but he's asking the husband to do something impossible. But when you realize that complete surrender to the Lord, God gives you the grace and refreshing that this actually works, because both things are impossible, but it's by the grace of the Lord that we accomplish these things. And so a man is designed to protect. Now, what is the word submit mean? The word submit here in the Greek means to be protected. Because somebody might think, well, submit means to obey. Submit means to just do what I'm told. That's really not exactly what this verse is talking about here. It means to protect. The Greek word for submit is hupotasso. I think we have that. Yeah, it's the Greek word hupotasso. It was actually a military term. And it means to get under the shield for protection. So if you're familiar with warfare in the first century, the Roman Empire, all of these soldiers would have shields and they would march into battle. And let's put this up as a visual in our minds. If they were to attack a walled city, they would have their shields And the commanding officer would shout to them, "Hupotasso," and they would put the shield up over their head to protect their head from arrows that were being shot from that wall. It was a military term of protection. So when Paul writes here that women should submit to their husband, what he's saying is, come under your husband's protection. Come under his protection. And I don't think it's by accident that most of our warfare is done by men. Ladies, please don't be hurt or offended by that. I know that women can be in the military. We have many women in this place that have been in the military. We believe that women can do all of those things. But we have to be honest that physically a man is a little more capable of doing some things when it comes to warfare. And so a man protects. Women, if we could view this as, hey, my husband or the men in my life are supposed to protect me emotionally, protect me physically, protect me relationally, protect me socially. Most of the women I know don't have any trouble with that. They would like to have a man in their life, a father or a husband, who's willing to protect them, to defend them. And so this idea of submission is to come under a shield for protection. And so I, as a father, as a husband, I want to protect my children. I want to protect my wife. I want to be a shield to them. So this word hupotasso is a military term. And then he says this, for the husband is the head of the wife. The head of a wife means to be a covering. It's to be a covering. And let me give you one example. I don't have time to do a full word study on this in the scripture. But in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says, now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, in that culture, in Corinth, a woman was to cover her head. In fact, in many cultures today, still, women might cover their head. So that was the culture. It was disgraceful, if you go on to read the passage, Paul even says, it was disgraceful for her to shave her head. So culturally, the glory of a woman, and there are verses that indicate that the glory of a woman was her hair in that culture. And so he said, you need to have a hair. You need to be covered. And so culturally, that was her glory, was to have her hair. So it's the same word when he's talking about a head covering as he's talking about a man being a covering for his wife. So think of it in terms like this, men. A man is to cover and protect his family. Think of it in terms like a roof. Like the roof of a house. I tell my kids, my daughters, you always have a roof over your head. And even if you're not living at home, I'm your roof. I want to protect you. I want to be there for you. So I think it's actually refreshing. I don't see anything that anyone would need to be offended by that. Who does not want a father? Most people would want a father to help cover, to help protect. Most people would want some men in their life to help protect and cover. Now, having said that, we're not saying that women can't protect. Again, we're not saying that. We're not saying that women don't cover their children. Of course, there's an aspect. But at the root of creation, of how God created us, there's this sense and longing to want to protect your family. God created men to be able to do that. And so women, if you could really understand that, I think it would actually be quite refreshing. So let me give you a couple of things about protection. One, men, I would say this, protect the women in your life by loving them. How do you protect the women? You love them. And the verse is going to go on to say that you love unconditionally. That's a tall order. But how do I really protect the women in my life? I protect them by loving them. I protect them by empowering them. I protect them by saying, the dreams that you have in your heart, you can do it. I'm here to help cover you, to help protect you, to help release you into those dreams. So we protect the women in our life by loving them. Now listen to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. Men, listen very carefully. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And you see the tall order here. If I'm going to protect by loving, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Would you please say protect? Say it out loud. But it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So I protect the women in my life by loving them. The second thing that I would say is we protect the women in our lives by partnering with them. And so on the one hand, we see that wives are to submit to their husband. We're going to see that husbands are to love their wives unconditionally. But really what you need to understand about marriage is that it's a partnership. Biblically, it's a partnership. And let me give you a scripture for that. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner." Would you please say partner? So it's not about who's in charge. It's not about who makes the final decision. Sometimes we argue about these things. It's really more about partnership. Now, ladies, it does say that you're the weaker partner. Now, I know that there might be some ladies that can bench press more than their husbands here today. But the Bible says here that typically women are weaker than men. The weaker partner as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayer. So when you view marriage as a partnership, that you're living life together, you're fulfilling your purpose as a couple together, you're raising your children together, that's partnership. So I protect the women in my life by loving them, but I also protect the women in my life by partnering with them, getting excited about us doing this together. That's partnership. That's excitement. And then when you realize this, we're partners, then you realize, you know what? I empower my wife. I empower her to do what is in her heart. I empower her to do ministry. I partner with her in so many things. This is a wonderful aspect. And so protecting is a natural thing that God has given men. But I love my wife. I love the women in my life. I partner with them. And I am not threatened by them, but instead I empower them. And so God wants us to protect, and he has designed us to protect. This is part of having respect and having our needs met and in the aspect of being respected. The second thing is that God has made you to provide. So go back to the text, and in Ephesians 5, and we'll look at verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body." And so he says to love our wives unconditionally. Now, can you see how this works together? Somebody might be intimidated by the word submit. They may not like that. But I think I've demonstrated to you the word submit doesn't mean that you're just doing what you're told all the time. No, to the contrary, you're a partner, but you're coming under, you're understanding God's design of protection. But then he says to the man, love your wife unconditionally. That's impossible. We just read, you can't keep records of wrongs, and that you have to be kind and never rude and not self-seeking. All of these things, it's impossible for us to love unconditionally. So it's impossible to submit to a human person who makes many mistakes, but it's impossible to love unconditionally. If we see how these things work together, it really sets us free, because women, you're relying on Christ, and men, we are relying completely on Christ as well. So there's no reason to be intimidated by it in any way at all. And then he says this, that we're to provide. We're to provide. That if you provide for your own wife, you would provide for yourself, so you provide for your wife. So let me say this, and I want to read this verse because God has created you to provide. Men, He has created you to work. I hope you realize that. In fact, if you think about when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, even after the fall, they still had to work. So there was work in the garden. There was work after the garden. We were created to work. So God created you to work. And men, I'm going to be very, very clear with you. God created you to work hard. He created you to work hard. And I'm going to say this to be very, very clear. God created you to provide for your family. Say amen to that. He created you to work. He created you to work hard. And He created you to provide for your family. That is very, very biblical. Listen to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, they have denied the faith and they are worse than an unbeliever. So God has clearly called you to provide for your family. You say, well, my wife also works. Again, we're not saying, this has nothing to do with level of income. Most of the people in this church, both husbands and wives, work. And so we understand that. And some of you, your wives might make more than you. This has nothing to do with levels of income. This has to do with the way God designed us, that He created us to protect and also to provide. And so you'll discover this, and this is just my observation. But if a woman is not working in the workforce, I'm making a big generalization here, she can be very fulfilled at home. But it's harder for a man, if he's not in the workforce, to be fulfilled at home. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I think that God has created us and designed us for that. And so men, you were created to work, and you were created to work hard. God wants you to work. So you've got to trust the Lord that He wants to give you the right kind of job. So listen to this. God wants you to work. Let me be very, very clear on that. If you want to do it God's way, men, you got to work. You have to get a job. Say amen to that. Okay? And if you don't have a job, get working somewhere, even if you're not paid. And God will see that, and He'll give you a job. Say amen. That is so true and so powerful, okay? So God wants you to work. Now listen to 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. So if you want to eat, you gotta work. Years ago, we had somebody in the church, and this guy just would not get a job. And he's not here anymore. But he just wouldn't get it. He would not get a job. And we networked within the church, and I had people offering him jobs, helping him get to a job, opening doors for him, and he refused to do it. And then I found out he was going around in the church looking for help. And especially our older saints, he was talking to them and just because they were so compassionate and their heart was so soft, they're given to him. And I had to pull him aside and I said, brother, you cannot do that. You cannot make the rounds in our church looking for help, especially when the doors have opened for you to have a job. Everyone say amen to that, okay? Now, I know if somebody is disabled, I know if somebody is physically not able, that is a whole nother situation. And we deal with those on a case by case. But overall, God created you men to work, so you got to work. Do you still love me today? Okay, so very, very important, all right? So God wants us to work. So from this scripture, we can say that God says you have to work. You have to work. Okay, so if you have to work, listen very carefully, He will provide you with work. Because a lot of people will conclude, oh, well, I don't have any job. No. You stay in faith because God created you to work, so He will give you a job. I promise you that. I say that with faith, I say that with confidence, and I prophesy it over your life. God will give you a job because He has designed you to work. So if you'll get in faith and stand in faith, you'll realize that. So God wants you to work. Now, having said that, God will bless your work. Okay? If it's in your heart and you want to work, and God wants you to work, then God will bless your work. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, every job. He wants to bless you. So one, he wants to get you a job. Two, whatever job you have, he wants a favor, his favor to come upon you, his anointing. He wants to bless the work of your hands. He wants to open doors for you. He wants you to be able to provide for your family. This is the heart of the Father. So you can be confident, one, that he's going to give you a job, and two, whatever job he gives you, he's going to bless you. And even if it's not your favorite job, he'll give you grace and strength while you're doing it, and then open up another door and give you a promotion. But if you'll get in on what God is doing, then he'll bless your work. Amen? And so this is really, really important. I know I might be sounding very firm today on my brothers, but this way we got to talk straightforward. Amen? I was a little more compassionate with you ladies, but men, I'm going to be very straightforward. And I'm holding back, actually, to be honest with you. I got all kinds of things going through my mind that I'm holding back. All right, so number one, he's created us to protect. Number two, he's created me to provide. Number three, he's created me for a purpose. For a purpose. So listen to Ephesians 5, and we'll read 31 and 32. For this reason, you could say for this purpose, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So a man grows up with his mom and dad. He gets married, but he leaves for a reason. He leaves for a purpose. And I pray you'll get a hold of this today. God created you for a reason, for a purpose. You could say it this way. God has appointed you and chosen you for something. I pray you can get a hold of that. God has created you and appointed you for something. In fact, listen to 2 Timothy 1, verse 11. This is a New Living Translation. Paul says this, and God chose me to be a preacher. Some translations say, and God appointed me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. Paul knew that he was appointed to preach and teach. You might not be appointed to preach and teach, but he's appointed you for something. He's appointed you to be a welder, to be a carpenter, to be a contractor, to be in technology, to be a teacher, whatever it might be. He's appointed. He's chosen you to do something very, very specific. And listen now carefully. Specific here on earth that is tied to kingdom purposes. Specifically on earth that will then allow you the ability to influence people around you and introduce Christ to them. And so when you understand that you're designed for a purpose, this is so meaningful. This is so significant. This is so rewarding. When a man understands that he was designed to protect, he was designed to provide, and he was designed for a purpose, there'll be incredible meaning in his life. And I would say this to you, that in the ministry process over all these years, one thing I've discovered is if a man does not feel like he has purpose, then he really struggles with his identity. But if a man starts knowing what his purpose is, and he starts being fulfilled in his job and as a family man and influencing people in the workplace, there is such meaning and significance because he's tapping into who God created him to be. And if a man doesn't understand his purpose, then he wanders aimlessly. And I'll say this as a footnote because this is coming out of my spirit. But I'll tell you what happens with a man. If he doesn't know what his purpose is, he starts looking for purpose in the wrong places. And those things often lead to addiction. But if you'll know what your purpose is, there's no reason to look for purpose in other places or for a high in other places. Because you know who you are in Christ as a man, and you're fulfilled with your family and in the things that God has called you to do. And it's very meaningful and significant. And then you walk your life with great significance, on purpose, knowing what you're doing, and you're very clear in that as you walk your path that God has called you to. Say amen to that. Say amen to that. So he's created us for a purpose. So first, God will stir purpose in you. He will stir purpose in you. Listen to Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Please say purpose. So he stirs it up in you. He starts putting desires in you. Pay attention to the desires that are in your heart. Pay attention to the things that you get excited about. Pay attention to the things that give you a buzz in life. The things that you enjoy doing with your hands. The things that you enjoy doing in life. Whatever it may be. But God stirs it in you according to his good purpose. God is putting those desires in you. If you'll trust the Lord on that. So it wasn't just you that made up a good idea. Oh, I think I'll do that. You got to pray about them things, but he starts putting purpose in you. What has he called you to do? And so you start getting into alignment with the Lord. My brother, if you'll start making this your prayer to say, Lord, I really want to know what my purpose is, and I have this job, but Lord, I really want my job to be designed to my kingdom purpose. God will begin to reveal it to you, and there'll be such deep fulfillment and satisfaction in your life. And so God created you for this purpose. He will stir purpose in you. Secondly, if he stirs purpose, he will fulfill his purpose for you. You got to trust him on that. So Lord, you put this purpose in my heart. I'm seeing it worked out in my life. This is my purpose. Now, Lord, if you give me a purpose, you will fulfill the purposes that you have for me. He'll fulfill it. Some of you men have some dreams in your heart that you want to do. Maybe it's to start a business. Maybe it's to do something for your family. But there's purpose. I'm saying to you, hold on. Hold on. God's stirring that in you. Don't give up on it. Keep walking it out, because God will begin to open up the doors for you so that you can be involved in kingdom purposes. Amen. And so he will fulfill it. He'll fulfill it. If you get in on this with him, he'll fulfill it. So listen to Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart. So we all have plans in our heart. And sometimes you got to just start planning. You're knocking at doors. You're praying for things. You're praying for the job. You got a lot of plans. But notice this. But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails in your life. And so you know what? When a door closes, try not to get too discouraged, because God may be setting you up for your purpose. That was so good, I'm going to amen myself. Okay, try not to get discouraged when a door closes, because it could be God setting you up and getting you on the track toward your purpose, what he has for you. If we'll have the bigger picture, my brothers, if we'll have the bigger picture and realize, you know what, God is in on this thing. He's given me purpose, and he is going to fulfill the plans and the purposes that he has for me. And some of you have been there where you tried to do a lot of planning on your own. Come on, somebody, and it didn't work out. But when God does it, when he does it, man, he works things out, and he opens up doors for us. So many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that prevails. So a man has been created to protect. Please say protect. A man has been created to provide. Say provide. Ladies, don't be hurt or offended. You also can have a job. And it's okay even if you make more than your husband. That's not what we're saying. But God's created men to provide. And he's created men for purpose. Say purpose. Ladies, don't get offended. Of course you have a purpose. But we're talking about the intricate design of how God fabricated us and created us. Amen? So how do you bless the men in your life? This is for all of us men, but ladies, how do you bless the men in your life? Now, I know that not everyone is married here, and we have single people, but really this message applies to all of us to really understand this. But how in general do we bless the men in our life? Number one, let the men in your life protect you and love you. Could you do that? Let them protect you. Well, I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. My dad wasn't ever there for me. And on you might say things, and that's understandable. But would you let your husband love you? Would you let him love you unconditionally? Would you let him protect you? Protect you emotionally? Protect you relationally? What would you let him do that? Let the men in your life do that for you. Humble yourself and say, man, God has created us in different ways. And if I see the picture, the big picture, it'll all fit together. So let him. Let the men in your life protect you and love you. Secondly, if he's created to provide, then support their work and their endeavor. Support them. There's nothing like a cheerleader. There's nothing like your wife being there and saying, honey, you can do this. There's nothing like. Why do you think we have cheerleaders? It's kind of a silly culture if you think about it. We have these girls that go out there and they cheer. Why? Because men love that. We love that. And there's nothing like my wife. When my wife tells me, Eric, you can do this. When my wife says to me, Eric, I know it's hard right now, but man, I just respect you and you're working so hard. I can't even tell you how that just goes down deep into my heart because she's my best cheerleader. And she knows this. She knows that God created her to help. We partner together, but she knows that she's really a helper. That's what God created. And so she's helping to fulfill vision. She's helping to fulfill what God has called us to for our purpose. And so she's excited and fulfilled in that. And I can't even tell you what that means to me as a husband, as a father. So let the women, women, I would say, get behind the work and the endeavors, and how about the dream of your husband? And allow him to make some mistakes. Allow him to get back up after he's fallen. Allow him to not be perfect. Say amen to that, right? So you got to support their work and their endeavors. And I'm talking about your dads. I'm talking about your brothers. I'm talking about the men in your life. And the final thing is this: help them find and fulfill their purpose. Help them find and fulfill their purpose. And I know sometimes that's a process. And I know sometimes it takes a lot of clarification. And gentlemen, if you're here today and you're like, man, I'm not even sure how this comes together. I struggle with my purpose. And am I significant? First, I want to say you're very, very normal. We all feel that way. I've been doing this a little bit, and I still struggle with that at times. Like, is this meaningful? Is this significant, the things that I'm doing? That's a very normal thing. But ladies, with the men in your life, if you could get behind them to help them discover what their purpose is, help them identify, say, hey, what you're doing does tie into kingdom purposes. I mean, all of us have mundane things that we have to do, but it translates into providing for your wives and your children, providing for your family. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so if you hear that from the ladies in your life that say, man, what you're doing is significant, and it does, hey, it allowed our kids to be able to play soccer this year. It allowed our kids to be able to do taekwondo. It allowed our kids, those kinds of things are significant and meaningful, and it allowed us to be able to do ministry. All of those things help them find and fulfill their purpose and say, you know what, the things that you are doing are tied to eternity and to the kingdom. And I'm believing even if you're unsatisfied, that we're going to get to a place where you feel so fulfilled and satisfied in what you're doing, because it translates into eternity. Amen, church? And so let's bless the men in our lives. And so I pray that you got something out of that. You're equal. Ladies, we're equal. We're equal. We're equal. We're all children of God. We're partners in the kingdom together. You can do amazing things, ladies. We empower you for that. You have a certain role, but men have a certain role as well. We're equal, but we're different. I think it's important to say that in our culture and in our society right now. We don't need to be offended by it, but we say, you know what? Let's see what is biblical. Amen? So we want to conclude today. Last week we prayed for our moms. And today I want to conclude by specifically praying for and blessing our dads. Our dads, okay? Or the men in our life, because we may have some men here that aren't dads, but we want to start by doing it this way. Can you say amen?